Welcome to the 4Jack Podcast.
And we're back on the 4Jack Podcast, brought to you by Jackson Labs. Just an interesting day here today. We can get into the golf, but even more interesting is it's just me and Derv.
What's going on, big baby?
What's happening, dog? Like, how we doing?
We're doing not too bad. You know, after a super stressful week of moving, we are nearly settled in. At least a lot of the boxes are unpacked. A couple IKEA trips in my near future, I could only imagine. But yeah, we're excited. We're happy the process is over.
How's the new place?
New place, oddly enough, very quiet.
Quiet with no internet and no cable.
Yes. Well, I sort of have regressed to a caveman like, you know, person, which I'm okay with for a couple more days. But anything after that's going to be a little dicey. Yeah, loving the downtown life north of the river for the first time.
I like that. It's always nice to dip on over to the other side of the river in Edmonton. Just give a little taste, you know, just see what it's like.
You know, and I live right by sort of some stairs that go up to 99th Ave, right? And it's been seeing a lot of action. There's, I'll leave it at that for our people, but there's been some action. So interesting so far.
I like that. And unfortunately, like you said to me before we started recording, you managed to not burn your apartment down in your second or third night. So, I mean, that's a good sign.
Though I almost did, we did, you know. We came out of it with a couple burns, but we're surviving.
Some polysporin and a Band-Aid will get you right through that. It's fine.
It's my middle name.
Yeah, there we go. I love it. Yeah, so me and Dervin here today, we're going to cover quite an interesting weekend, a weekend that I did not see coming. Dervin and I were just talking before we started recording about potentially picking the winner this week. We didn't because we have no faith in him, and boy, were we wrong. Sergio Garcia.
Out of nowhere.
11th win.
Like, first, what? Because that was his first win since the Masters.
Wow. Yeah. And, like, not to go, like, too deep into it on, like, the sad and everything side, but didn't know that he lost two uncles to COVID. Like, that was really crazy. When I heard that, I was like, wow, that is, like, an emotional win. I mean.
Well, that's just almost a redemption story there. It's like, totally. Through this pandemic, how can we move forward? How can we become better? And. Christ, he did.
Man, did he ever. Like, that when that putt went in on 18, great shot too, by the way, coming in. But, you know, you see it in players' faces when they make big putts or pull off shot or win an event. Just that sigh of relief. There was so much relief released out of him at that moment that it was like, oh, wow. Like, this means a lot more than just golf to him.
It's like this isn't just another win. This is sort of a life victory, a chapter starting, chapter ending. Who knows? But it was really, you know, it was really great to see.
Dude, I loved it. And just to, you know, quickly touch on his game, the guy straight up, he golfed his ball around that golf course. He was an absolute driving machine. He definitely had some flubs in the final round. I can't say that he was perfect, but throughout the week, he played so solid, four rounds in the 60s, and just, he looked like Sergio of old. I mean, the way that he was hitting the ball off the tee was so strong. He looked way above everyone else in driving accuracy, distance, and just consistency throughout the week. He was like, I think he was gaining almost two strokes on the field off the tee. He was phenomenal. You can't hate on good play like that out of a 40-year-old.
And, you know, I'll touch on one thing because it was sort of the headlines throughout the whole weekend while he was sort of doing his, you know, surging up through the leaderboard was his putting. So this guy is putting 80% of the time with his eyes closed? Are you kidding me? Sergio, what?
I'm going to tie something back to that.
Please do.
I thought about this today, actually, because I was watching yesterday and Friday and they were talking about it, and then I was watching him do that today. And unfortunately, the other boys aren't here to, you know, touch on this topic, but our buddy Dallas was doing that for a while. You know, HP Dally was actually putting with his eyes closed because he had a bit of a yip going, and he started putting closed eyes, and it was working. And to go full circle with this, I'm not sure if he's still doing it, but he might have done it, and it earned him a pretty big paycheck on Friday with the one and only skin out of the Northern Bear out of damn near 24 pros, one eagle. Big payday for the kid. Eyes shut. Eyes wide shut.
Shouts out to our good friend Dally. That is a big win. Yeah, and it's
almost as big as Sergio's.
Hey, it carried about just as much weight,
just
I think.
Just as much weight, I think.
But it's fascinating to see sort of him almost sort of just really, really, really rely on that feel again.
Instinctual.
Very much so, because some of the articles I was reading, some of the interview, some of the post-game stuff he was saying, it's like he sees that line, closes it, hits it, and just watches it go in. And there were a couple putts on the weekend that I was like, no chance. No chance.
Yeah. But really, when you think about it, like when you break it down, you're not supposed to be lifting your head for a while anyways. And I mean, how hard is it just to do the pendulum motion with your eyes closed? Surely it wouldn't affect that much.
No.
It's just like a mental thing to think that you would putt with your eyes or do anything with your eyes closed.
See, and it's so funny to almost think, like, if you look back at the career of Sergio Garcia, his little quirks between the brain, you know, it's the constant regripping, it's the constant pulling off the ball, can't pull the trigger, and just sort of adding another thing that clearly has worked, but still makes him a fucking weirdo.
Does that add to the lore of Sergio?
I think it does. As of right now, I think it does.
Like, okay. Imagine this was not the Sanderson Farms Championship in the fall series, and this was Augusta or a WGC or some sort of flagship event, and he was doing this. Would this be remembered for a lot longer?
I don't think so, truthfully, just because all of the points above. Yes, it is a fall series event. Yes, this
is. But take away that. If he was putting with his eyes closed at Augusta and he won, would this not be like
one of
the most ridiculous things ever?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
It's almost too bad that he did pick up a win in Missouri and Jackson, but like, damn, still a sick way to win. And like, the thing I'm going to go back to is Sergio, and it's funny when we look at this crop of, like, these fantastic crop of players that we have right now, like your JTs, DJs maybe a little bit much, but like Ricky, and you have Cam Champ coming up, you have Cameron Smith, you have all these young guys that are solid, and Rory, well, Rory's a little bit higher, but Sergio's got 11 wins. When you really look at the list of like PGA Tour winners that have won 11 times or more, it's not that many guys. Like, no. It's pretty impressive to look at Sergio, and the fact that he's still winning. I mean, he did win last year on the European Tour, which was great. It was fantastic to see. But like, first win since 2017 on the PGA Tour, and didn't look like he missed a beat.
But, and you got to think, this guy's been around since, what, 96?
He kind of came out as a 19-year-old in Medina in, what was that, 99?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
longevity,
you know, over 20 years.
Absolutely. Like, to consistently, to be a professional golfer for that long of time and then be dominant, like not dominant, but to have multiple victories, a major tossed in there, that's not easy to do.
Okay, then this is a topic that I did not see us coming or starting to speak about, but Sergio's been on tour for 20 plus years. How many of these guys have, again, to refer back to this young crop of players that are out there now, how many of these guys are going to have a career as long as Sergio's? Bryson's not going to.
No.
There's no way.
No.
There's no way that you can go to the range 6 hours a day, swing as hard as he does, and continue a career for that long.
There's no way your back, there's no way your knees,
no.
There's no way any shoulders, any, like, you name it, could like, withstand sort of that. It's not abuse, but you know, when you're on the range for 6 hours, it would feel like it.
Oh man,
I don't think I could even last that long on a range.
I was listening to Bryson on the Drop Zone podcast this week, and he was discussing his quote unquote love of golf. He doesn't, he loves golf. He loves practicing, but he doesn't love playing. And he said this before, and he's like, why would I go out and shoot 65, have 65 shots when I could sit on the range and hit 300 balls? So he'd rather do that. If he goes out and plays, it'd be like evening, he might play five holes. Okay. So you don't really love the game, because if you really love the game, you'd be like JT and Ricky and these guys that love to go out and play.
You'd be out
courses.
Grinding yeah. on the course and on the range.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a guy like Zach Blair, who's an absolute pig. He will literally play every moment of the day if he has the chance, whether it be a tournament week or not. He is playing. He loves golf. He loves the golf courses. He likes seeing them. He's designing his own golf course, the Buck Club.
Very cool.
And that, it sucks to see guys in the game like Bryson that are not so passionate about it. And to tie it all up here, that probably won't sustain their career that long.
150%.
And I like seeing guys like Sergio and Tiger and Phil and Jimmy Furyk, who are obsessed with the game and are obsessed with seeing other courses and just getting a feel and seeing other people play. And I hope we don't lose that in this generation.
It's no, same as well. That's a super good point. And it's almost sort of like the game is changing a little bit. It's more so about, you know, being in the weight room, blah, 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 and needing to stay fit. But it's like, also it's like, well, how can I stay in this game the longest? How can I perform at my top for as long as I can?
I think most PGA Tour players have a good idea of that. Mm-hmm. They work a lot on flexibility, a lot of like static movements. It's not a lot of like heavy lifting like Bryson. Bryson's an anomaly. Like that's, you got to have the right body type to do that. And I don't mean to dwell on Bryson. Like I don't need to, because to be honest, I'm actually like, I think in the last couple weeks, even since watching Wingfoot and kind of soaking that all in, mm-hmm. I've started to appreciate him more than maybe I ever have. But I think most players have a good handle on that. And
yeah,
I don't want to take too much away from the game, because like I think that we are in a good place. And I think guys like Sergio picking up wins in their 40s and making it look like it's an easy game still for the guy, for the veterans on tour.
Well, and you got to think like,
easy, but they can do it.
He's in his 40s. Stuart Cink, also
another winner. Great example.
47 years old, kicked everyone's ass that week.
Yeah.
So totally. It's like, you know, I think as much as the game is turning to the young guns to sort of, okay, here are the reins, see what you can do. These old bastards can still play, man.
Fuck yeah, they can. And it was awesome. Can still play. Hell yeah. But a couple of the young guys this week that truthfully I thought were super impressive. Peter Malnati, that was awesome today.
Dude.
Like he
nine
he hit some crazy
under
shots
today.
Beautiful 63. Beautiful. Unreal. And like some of those shots that he made to, you know, card that score were, it was phenomenal. Like that one shot, I think it was 15, the drivable par 4, kind of pulled it, should have been dead.
Dead.
Gone. Barely even had a backswing. Somehow lands that in the literally only spot he could land it to pop it close to the pin to make a 3. That was crazy good. And just, I like the excitement. Like, he's, you know, very vocal and he's absolute, jumpy. And
it
like,
was,
yeah.
It's funny. After that hole, you should have heard him. I meant to do that.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, there, Peter. Of course you did, brother.
Like, sick. But sick, like, and he gets off, he's hanging out with his kid and his wife, like, just chill on the grass. He's not, I'll hit balls soon. He's like, right now I'm good. Mm-hmm. I just carded, like, a career round. Let me enjoy this with my fam, and we'll talk later.
Yeah.
I'll see the sticks in a bit if I need to. And he didn't, but what a performance out of Malnati. And, like, that guy just keeps on rolling. Another guy that continues to keep on rolling that I think is due for a huge year this year, we got to touch on JT Poston, man.
JT.
That guy, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just very selective with when I see him, but he is always in there. He is consistently putting his name up at the top of these leaderboards. And it's very impressive to watch this guy. Like, literally, I don't really know much about him in previous years. Maybe, like, last year I saw him a little bit, but not to this extent. Dude, he's playing some seriously good golf right now.
You know, just if we're looking at some of the stats from this week, like, honestly, like 83% in the first round of greens and reg, like, you know, you're gonna make more putts often than not when you're hitting the green like that. And then driving, you know, he struggled a little bit earlier on with his driver, but and then, you know, 71% round two, 50% round three, 50% round four, you know. Consistency, well, we could probably do a bit better, but hey, it's getting the job done, man.
He didn't have the best of weekends shooting 69-70, but the first two, he was solid with 66-67. Disappointing 70 today, in my opinion. He had a lot of shots that should have gone down. Didn't. Eh. Oh, well. You know, two bogeys, four birds, look good.
Absolutely.
You can't hate on it, but like that course was there for the taking today, and it looked good. Another guy that I had to touch on, I got to touch on Keegan.
Took the words right out of my mouth there.
Tell me what we thought of him on Friday.
Oh, I didn't think he had anything in the tank on Friday.
What do you mean? He was phenomenal. Shot 65.
Ooh.
It was,
damn.
It was insane. Like, and I was literally just talking to my roommate about this, that the one thing that just rattles me about watching him, even when he's shooting, he could be shooting 65 or 95. Those freaking twitches that he has before, like in his pre-shot routine, it is painful to watch. That constant club flip and staring at it and the little pace, the rock back and forth.
It's kind of unnerving.
For me, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but apparently that's natural for him.
That's insanity.
Oh, man, I gave me the heebie-jeebies. I'll be totally honest with you. I did not feel good about that.
But it was nice to see him near the top of a leaderboard / at the top of the leaderboard heading into the last round today.
Yeah, I dig it. Like, I like it. And you know, I liked him on Friday. Like, I think that group with him and Im playing together was awesome because Im literally needed to birdie the 18th to make the cut. And then for Im to go on and shoot 600 a day to shoot up to T28, what a weekend for him after almost missing the cut. And then, you know what's actually crazy, and maybe this isn't appreciated, but like on 18 on Friday, Sungjae hits this shot in, beautiful towering 5-iron from like 200 to like 3 feet. Keegan from like 197, 5-iron as well, up the hill. I don't know how it didn't catch the ball, like just grazed past Im's to like 2.5 feet, and you're like, whoa. You're
like, there are some players here
you
today.
Boys made it look easy.
Yeah.
Like, that was sick. I mean, the golf course, what did you think of it?
From the parts that I saw, just as you said, it was there for the taking.
Yeah.
At a par 72 with that extra par 5 on the back, that was helping some peeps, you know, because, you know, hole 14, you see Sergio bomb that 245-yard shot.
Yeah.
Put it to 3 feet for eagle. And you tell me that course was not there for the taking.
I got mixed feelings about that shot. Was that a miss? A
little wipey,
wasn't it?
A little wipey. But,
he was, you know, begging for that thing.
As much as I say there's no cameras on the golf course, in this there was cameras.
There was.
But who cares? Result was exactly what you wanted for Sergio, my guy.
That was sick, that shot, too, actually. It was awesome to see that. It was just funny to watch. I guess because we've been, you know, just privileged with like great golf and great golf courses lately. No fans, obviously, but to watch this event this week, did it not feel like you were just watching like your local club championship and we were just like falling around these absolute sticks because there's like no one out there. The golf course looks extremely mediocre. Like, look good, but like, am I going to compare it to Wingfoot or like Olympia Fields?
I'd have to ask you to leave if you were.
Yeah, and it's like, whoa, this really just like,
I would say that it would be,
reminded me that we're in the fall series.
A very competitive club championship.
No, for sure. But like, I'm just saying, like with no one there, no one's given a shit.
Absolutely.
And
because
we've just seen some crazy golf courses. Because
did you notice any houses? Like, were there houses on the golf course or anything? Like, I didn't.
There's a few nearby, but, like, nothing close.
See, because, like, at least at Wingfoot, you know, there was houses on the golf course. You could hear fans. Yeah. You could, like, people were having watch parties in their backyard. Like, if you were in the vicinity of there, you were making noise. And it just felt the complete opposite sort of out there this week.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Well, it is what it is.
Absolutely.
And you know what? It's another fall series event. But, hey, I've been pretty harsh on the fall series events in the past. I'm starting to appreciate them a lot more. Yeah, I like Sergio winning it. That's cool. But he shouldn't have been the guy that won it. I mean, the guy's worth like 100 mil.
Oh, yeah.
Probably doesn't need it. A guy like JT Poston needs it.
Oh,
that changes. 100%. That's why I liked last week with Hudson Swafford winning.
Yeah.
That means a lot to that guy.
Well, because it's like, That's your bills. That's
you. That's life.
That's you being relaxed and not having to worry about a couple things.
2 years on the tour,
exactly.
Majors. That's huge for a guy like that.
And it's just a foot in the door, exactly like you're saying, like a foot in the door to all majors. Yes, please.
Exactly. And I don't know. Like, I like seeing Sergio win. I've always been a fan of Sergio, so I'm not going to hate on him. But like, I do like seeing kind of like.
The up and comers. The breakthrough stars, sort of. And like, this is where they do it anyway. Like, this is where it happens.
This is the benefit of the fall series. Like, it's really easy to get caught up in like a storyline in the fall series events.
Absolutely.
Because you know that this means so much more for them than other guys, which is really cool. But either way, whatever. We move on from that. I'm not going to brag here again, but like, that's another win for me. It's starting to get like, honestly, like I actually feel guilty. Like, it's like runaway victories. And not, I'm going to preface this really quickly as well. It's not like I had good picks. It was like I had two. I mean, I had a guy that missed a cut.
Same.
So,
had a couple.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I totaled up our guys like with like an hour left of the broadcast. I was like, none of us are up there.
It's like, we're not. No one is bragging about this.
No one picked Sergio or JT Poston.
I know.
Or Keegan Bradley. So
I definitely
run away with that. But we got a nice event coming up this week, though. And actually, legitimately, like a pretty stacked field. We got the Shriners. Vegas time.
Shrinies.
Yeah.
And now, is this still a Justin Timberlake
associated
event? Always loved when he used to be in there.
He might still be associated with it. I don't know, to be honest with you. I couldn't really tell you. We can find that out right now.
This is 100%
true. I don't believe he is. Why don't we go into some picks then? These picks and this pod are brought to you by Tower Brewing Company out of Calgary. Some delicious beers that Derv and I are actually sipping on right now. Delicious as always. Get my little Sunday buzz on and just, you know, takes me into a gentle sleep to get ready for the week. I love it.
Woo! Shouts out to our good friends at Tower Brewing.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to kick it off with some picks here, and you can follow. I'll give out Parksies as well. My picks for the Shriners this week. I'm going with, this might be one of the first times I've ever done this. I'm going with Bryson.
Oh.
Past winner. Won last year. Just seems fitting. I'm going to go with the winner of the year before. I'll go with Kevin Na. Always plays well there. Next up, I'm going to go my boy Sungjae. Got to go back to him. I think he's coming around. He's trending for the Masters right now. And lastly, we're going to go with the Wolfman. Wolfman's back in the field, so I think he would be the appropriate guy to pick. Derv, what do you got for me?
How about you go to Parksy's pick first?
Oh, you're looking to poach, hey?
I'm looking to do a... because it's been sort of the opposite. I've, from what Parksy's been saying, I've been poaching a couple of his. Okay. So maybe this is a chance.
We do it then. Parksy will be going with Abraham Anser, Bryson, Cam Champ, and Jason Day. Not bad.
Not a bad.
I like that. Those are big hitters. Filthy picks, to be honest with you. I feel like that's just... It's just only going big boys.
Well, is this a pretty star-studded lineup this week?
Not a bad field, to be honest with you. For the Shriners, this is probably like one of the bigger fields that they've had in quite some time, to be honest with you. I like this event, and I think this is a good fall series event right now too, because we actually get to see a few more of the big boys come out. They're all putting in the reps right now because they know Augusta's coming up. You'd never see this field.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Because you'd almost be like, because when sort of in this COVID era, when are you ever going to get a chance at an Augusta this late in the year?
You'll never get it.
Absolutely never again.
And that being said, that track looks mint right now. I saw like a drone photo of it the other day and it looks banging.
Oh, absolute.
So,
alrighty.
I'm excited for that.
A few picks for myself this week. Trending in the upward direction, I'm going to go with our good friend Stuart Sink. Recently just mentioned on the podcast. Like I said, trending upwards. Old man can play golf. Old man gets paid. My next pick, you know, I also hate to do this, but I'm going to pick my boy. Or I shouldn't say my boy, but Bryson DeChambeau.
Everyone going Bryson
in there this week. Next is my actual boy, who is currently in a legal battle for $18 million. Tony Finau.
What is this for?
So
why have I not heard this?
Tony Finau is being sued, I believe, by his former junior coach for a lump sum of about $10 to $15 million, or including like, you know, playing fees, paying his parents' mortgages, so what? Like he could play and focus in golf, tournaments, all that sort of jazz that adds up. So that's a developing story. Still, you know, haven't heard too much on that in a couple weeks, but
that guy's cursed as is, and you're gonna pick a guy who's going through a legal battle?
Hey, I think this is a dude. He's got a win to pay that.
You're right. That's a great shout. He's got something to play for.
My next pick is going to be Harris English.
I had him on my list.
Had a really good showing at Wingfoot, as we all know.
Guy flushes it.
Flushes it. You know, it's super unfortunate that he lost that ball on the first hole there, and which I think played a massive role in that.
Too funny.
Yeah. And then last pick here.
I think you got four.
Was that four?
Yeah.
Stewie. Tony.
Tony. Harris.
Oh, and Bryson. Yeah. There we go.
You're good.
Oh, geez.
Well, I mean, it is Sunday. We all kind of get caught up in the mix sometimes. But those picks, once again, brought to you by Tower Brewing. Jump on over, find them wherever you can. Sip them back on Sundays just like we do. It's a good time. They're delicious. Mm. So, yeah, that's the picks for the Shriners. Nice little week coming up. And then we head into this train just keeps on rolling, man. There's so many events coming up that I love it. Like I love Sundays right now to be able to book off everything. Like today was such a perfect day to watch golf. It was cold. Not that nice out, kind of tired, but to be honest, we can go into our own personal stuff now. I pegged it this week. I played four times.
I was just going to say, and so there are some changes that I've noticed.
Yeah, a lot of changes. The boys are getting at me. I've reverted to my boys' move. I've reverted to the Sungjae slow jam. Take it real, real slow on the way back, and I've just been striping it.
And I got to witness nine holes of this last night.
Not even the good nine holes.
At the beautiful, and can I say beautiful, Northern Bear Golf Club last night. And my goodness, the fall is my favorite time of year, and it is doubled and tripled, especially if I'm out there.
Fall ball's banging right now.
It is banging. And you know who's hitting that banging ball? Is you with that move. It's good. It's good to see.
I love it. Finally, it's a good time for me to find it. Hey, right at the end of the season. That just means I got to go south.
Just how we always do it.
Yeah, that's what we do. But I got to say, man, like, so we played in that Skins game on Friday. The wind was up a bit. The Bears greens right now, like, and I'm sure it's everywhere. It's dry. There hasn't been rain. It's fall. I'm sure everywhere's firm. But I don't know if it could be as firm as the Bears. I legitimately could have full tomahawked a wedge into the green on 7 and not even left a dent. Like, they are firm, dude. It's awesome. Like, I love seeing golf courses like that around here. We don't get to see that very often. It's always wet out here. They always overdo it. And it rains at night. And it's like, no.
Stop.
I want it to be firm. Like, it's funny, I was actually talking with my mom today, and I was like, hey, like, let's go play somewhere on Thanksgiving weekend. And she, you know, rifles off this course, and I'm like, yeah, cool, we'll go play. I'm like, what's nice about it? She's like, it's always green. Lots of water, they're on an aquifer, and they just pump it. And
no.
And I'm like, I don't know if I want that right now.
No.
Like, I don't know if I want to go play a soft golf course.
I want firm and fast, and the Northern Bear 100% delivered that. And I would assume all week, but while I was there last evening, my goodness.
That was fantastic.
What a treat.
I think we've been getting blessed with some sneaky golf here, considering we started late in the year, COVID year, and it's just weird. And I think 2020's turned around. I think it's trending for the Masters.
You know,
it's trending.
As only the best do.
It's got to be trending, right?
It's got to be trending.
It's trending upwards. That's all it is. And I'm just going to go with it. And
even if it's not, it is in my mind now.
Fuck yeah. God damn, we're getting it, man. Like, and I hope that we get a couple more weeks out of this and then we can just enjoy it. You know what would be ideal? This, oh God, this would be such a dream if we could like legitimately get nice weather to the Masters like mid-November.
You know what would be the coolest thing is if you were sort of playing while the Masters were also playing.
Well, I mean, we normally get that maybe.
A little bit.
Sometimes not. But like if when it's in April, you might get that chance. You may not. Might still have snow on the ground. But like that'd be really cool to be playing golf like close to my birthday, which is never happened.
It's very super infrequent that we're out there playing for your birthday.
We'd have to go to farm tracks, like out of the city, because nowhere in the city is going to be open. They're going to be shutting that shit down. So like we might have to go to Forestburg.
I'm okay with that.
And I'm okay with it too. Works for me.
Be a goat track road trip.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be a good ass time. I don't have that much to cover, to be honest. Like I enjoyed watching the Sanderson this weekend. I'm very excited to watch the Shriners.
I'll give a good shout out to our Canadian gal, Brooke Henderson, for her top 10 finish this week. She finished, I believe, sixth.
Played well.
A few shots back of the winner, who is at what I believe she was at 10 under, that Mel Reed. Mel Reed. Good win for her. Loves the champagne.
Good move.
Keep it going, baby. That's what I like to see.
Hell of a move.
Absolutely.
Whoa. I was watching a bit of that before the Sanderson started this afternoon, and I was like, dude, this chick rips it.
Yeah.
Like, hard. That's a not quite as upright, but like as close as I've seen to Annika's swing. Like, that was very solid.
Wow.
Like, just straight back, straight through, and powerful.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Really nice to watch her come out with the victory. Also, once again, just shouts out to our good friend, Brooke. We love you, baby.
I love it. And shout out to Sergio and the Spanish Mafia.
Watch out.
Gotta watch out for those boys. Durf, thanks again for jumping on with me today.
Always a pleasure.
Boys got run down with some stuff, and you know what? Stepped in, took over, and we dominated tonight.
It's what we do out here.
It's a solid night.
Four Jack Podcast for life, baby.
I love it. Okay, everyone, we're going to chat with you guys next week after the Shriners, and enjoy the rest of your week. Cheers.
Let's keep on golfing, baby.